trying to be a family man, yeah.
Hey, Dad, you gotta love that song. Welcome to the Family Man Show. That's the new Family Man theme song by Drew Geertst. He did an awesome job. I heard him, I don't know how long ago, I guess it was like the 1st of October. I was at his church speaking, and he sang this song, and I'm like, that is my song. I'm gonna let you listen to a little bit more of it. Maybe not this show, but the next show. And we're going to talk to Drew and how he came up with it, and we'll see if we can do a little interview there. But it is a great, great song, not because it's got incredible words and a great tune and because it's sung so wonderfully, but because it's a challenge to us dads to stand up, be strong, because it's a good thing to be a family man. And I love it. So I'm excited about the new year. That's going to be our theme song for a long time, I hope, maybe forever. But I hope you had a great Christmas with your family. We are just now recovering from Christmas. We've been driving all over the world. I don't know. I think we were talking about we did about 18 hours in the car over the last not even a whole week, but just driving back and forth to the big city from our little town in northern Indiana. But we've got some beautiful snow out there right now. In fact, I was just outside because, you know, being a dad, it means that everybody kind of takes advantage of being a dad. My oldest son, I got a note when I woke up this morning, said he'd gone to work. He had taken one of our cars because his car didn't start. And, you know, it's kind of convenient to have a father. I'm sure I took advantage of my father without even thinking the slightest bit of it. And I think my son probably did the very same thing. So I was out there trying to get it started. I got a battery charger on it right now, hoping that that's a simple, simple fix. Maybe things were left on. But we've got about, I don't know, eight or 9 inches of snow. It feels kind of Christmassy, even though Christmas is over. Reminds me of the big snow we had, I don't know, about 10 years ago, right after New Year's Day. It was on New Year's Day, I think, or New Year's Eve. But we had about 20 inches of snow. It was incredible. My kids haven't even been outside yet, but it feels nice and snug inside. You may notice my voice is just a hair deeper than it normally is. I've just been suffering with a cold the last few days. And you also notice that Scott isn't here today, and I didn't can him. I wouldn't do my show without Scott, except right now because I'm doing my show without Scott. But it's been hard to connect during this holiday time. I've been driving on the road, and so it just works out. Right now, maybe Scott will magically insert his voice in from time to time.
Hey, Todd, how's it going? You can't answer that because I'm not there with you live, but I'm inserting my voice here. So take it away.
But we hope to be back to normal next week. So thanks for hanging in there. It's been interesting or fun to talk to lots of you who enjoy Scott. And I haven't talked to anybody who doesn't, so it's working out good. I love working with Scott, and I think he adds so much to the show.
Aw, shucks. Thanks, Todd. I love working with you, too. Everybody, have a group hug. Back to Todd.
And happy news is that just heard that Phil Robertson is back with the Duck Dynasty gang. And I'm sure the A&E people wrote a real nice letter, but I would just assume they didn't want to lose lots and lots of money. In fact, I got my little right next to me for Christmas in my stocking stuffer. My wife got me this Duck Dynasty mask. It's not really a mask. It's got like this beard with a red, white, and blue bandana over it. And I look like one of the Robertson boys when I put it on.
I think we're going to need photographic evidence. Please put it up on the website.
So, it was a good Christmas. The kids had a good time. We opened a lot of gifts. Like I said, we drove a lot. Didn't get anything, you know, noteworthy that I can accept. And maybe I even mentioned because I already knew I was going to get it. I got one of those tables, and I'm super excited about it. I know table doesn't sound too exciting, but I got a table that's going to go in our family room, and it's a, I don't even know what you call it, a curiosity table maybe. It's got a glass tabletop. It's maybe about 3 feet by 3 feet. Goes in front of our big couch, and it's got a big drawer that you pull out, and you can put stuff inside of it so you can see through the glass into it. So I'm like planning to fill it with junk, you know, all my really, really important treasures like my ticket stubs, Frozen, and my wife and I just went to see the movie Saving Mr. Banks, that's what it's called. And I'm going to put those kind of things in it, you know, like shells and, you know, a paper hat from Steak and Shake, all the important things of life. My wife says, you're not going to just junk it up with clutter. And I'm like, that's exactly what I'm going to do. That's not clutter. Those are treasures. So that was the highlight of mine. I'm going to cough again. I keep hitting the mute button there because I'm like, I got a little tickle in my throat there. But I am starting to feel better. I hope you've survived the holiday season without being too sick. I've gotten some word that some of my friends out there in Radioland have suffered. A little pit stop there and put in a piece of candy from my stocking stash, a Jolly Rancher, which is one of my favorite candies. Even though I did get some other things that I'm really excited about. Over the summer, we were speaking somewhere and they had these like cherry sour balls, a bucket full of them, and I was digging into them, and they were telling me they were like really cheap candy like you get at the Dollar Tree or Dollar General. And I must have mentioned it to my wife because I got a whole bunch of them, and they're just as awesome as I remember. So that little jingling sound you sound here is a Jolly Rancher in my mouth, hopefully to keep me from coughing the whole time. So, having a little trouble getting started out of the starting gate. I just don't want to leave this Christmas time, holiday time. It's just nice and fun and family-ish and take it easy and just goof off and eat things and not have to worry about the future plans and travel. But I guess everything has to come to an end and we have to be hit with the cold hard reality of life and have to think about getting my RV out again and our speaking schedule and all the things that need to get done And I guess that's part of being a dad. In fact, you know, I'm not huge in making resolutions. I know we were with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law over New Year's Eve, and I mean, she gets so excited about all her New Year's resolutions, and she's, you know, just thrilled about the possibilities. I don't feel as thrilled, even though I do have some, I don't know if I want to call them resolutions, because resolutions sound so important and like I have to really stick to them. But I have some things, you know, maybe it's because it's the beginning of a new year, that it just feels like you have another new fresh start. And so I want to make some new fresh starts. One of those areas is in family devotions. And I know, you know, the Bible doesn't say families have to have family devotions. Anybody who says they do is wrong. They're just twisting the scriptures to say what they want. That said, I do think it's important for families to not only teach when they rise up and when they lay down and when they walk along their path, even though that's what the Bible says, you know, that we're dads are supposed to teach our kids that. But it is kind of nice just to have that time where we set apart, that maybe we pray a little bit, we read the Bible a little bit, and, it doesn't have to be very long. In fact, I was just struck by all the people that we should be praying for as a family. And so I'm going to make just a little list that we are diligent in praying for family members who don't know Jesus, for family members or friends who might be sick and really struggling, or just maybe even other situations that come up to that we become aware of, and that we could pray about them and take note of them and rejoice together when those prayers are answered. So I'm going to work harder at that. In fact, I'm even thinking about doing a devotional book for dads, because I've just searched the world over and cannot find an easy dad book for devotions. And I was mentioning it to my wife, and she goes, you know, maybe we ought to have somebody else. So maybe somebody else should write it. Someone who's like had so much success in family devotions. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to write one just all the things that I want to do for those who don't have success in family devotions. So maybe in 6 months it'll be available to you. We'll see. So that's one of my things. I got to get back. I've been kind of wishy-washy on exercising, and I need to get started back on that. And just a continual reminder of loving my wife. Because my wife sometimes will have this conversation. She'll say things that seem kind of hurtful at the time, because she'll say, like, you don't try. And I'm like, I do try. And she says, well, you haven't done anything loving lately. And I said, well, yeah, I did. I when you got mad at me the other day, I didn't respond bad, you know, or I didn't snap at you. I just kind of let it go. Or when you, you know, but what is, where I was confronted with myself is that, you know, I don't really make a point to do something loving that I thought about, you know, where it's just like, okay, I'm going to write a note to my wife. Right after Christmas, I was just thinking, you know, we're so thankful. My wife does such an incredible job on all the Christmas gifts. I thought, I'm going to make the kids write a thank you note. You know, I don't care if they write them to grandma and grandpa. I hope they're not listening. But I want to, you know, they ought to at least say thanks to my wife, their mom. And so I made them each write a little thank you note. I said, it doesn't have to be any big deal. Just write it on a half piece of paper and scribble it down. And then I took a little cardboard thing and folded it in half and said, you know, you there's no Christmas without you. Oh, I love you. And I wrote my little thank you note inside it, and I stuck all their thank you notes in it, stuck it against her pillow for her to find. And I think she was really touched by it, because sometimes she forgets that we really, really, really appreciate her. And I, after that, I was thinking, you know, I really need to do a better job of showing my wife how much I love her and how much I appreciate her. And whether that's a little note that I write or a text that I might send her, or maybe, you know, my wife doesn't like flowers, but she always says, you know, and even if you gave me a flower out of the blue, she don't want me to spend a lot, but maybe just, I saw down the street at our little local florist, they have roses for $2.50. Maybe I'll pick up a $2.50 rose and I'll stick it on somewhere in her toothbrush holder, or maybe in her underwear drawer or somewhere, with a little note that just says, you know, you'll always be my Valentine, even though it's not Valentine's Day. So anyway, I'm going to work on that. Hey, how about a little bit change of subjects? I've been teaching Sunday school. I haven't done that in a long time, actually. But I've been teaching Sunday school, and I've been thinking of some things. In fact, I got a question in my Sunday school bucket, which is a bucket I place out during the Sunday school hour that, and before or after. If people have a question, they want, you know, me to give a shot at it. And I had a couple really good ones. And I just wondered, I just thought maybe we'd talk about it just for a few minutes, maybe to, you know, to test my answers out on you. And you can write me if you think I'm all wet. But here's one of them. It says, culture says that our kids can be, can do as they please when they're 18 years old. How do I approach this as a parent? Do you know of any verses addressing this? You know, that's a good question, because I think there are a lot of people who think that. They think, oh, my kid's 18, or have been told, your child is 18, they can do what they want. And, you know, I used to be pretty harsh against that, I guess, when I had little tiny kids. And I used to think, well, they'll be my kids as long as I tell them what to do. They will, you know, do what I ask. But I have noticed as they get older, they do become their own people. They even think their own thoughts and believe their own things, and want to go in directions that maybe I didn't actually want them to go, or didn't even think about. And, you know, the truth is, the Bible doesn't say when the age of cutting them off. It talks about, you know, when they get married, they're to leave their father and mother. And so maybe some people would say, well, there you go. Until your kid is married, you can boss them around. I know other people who will say, even when your kid's married, you're still the patriarch, so you're the one who's, you know, and I think that's kind of a misuse. But here's the deal. I know this, that you cannot control your children's behavior. You cannot boss them around. You cannot make them believe, think, and do everything you want them to do. It's just not that simple. And I don't know what the age is. I don't know if it's 18 or whatever age is. And maybe it's different for every kid. But I know that there's not an age where we as parents just check out. Yes, our role changes. You know, when they're little, they need you to dress them. As they get a little bit older, you might just pick out their clothes. As they get older still, you might have to say, no, you cannot wear that. And as they get older even still, maybe you just keep your mouth shut and let them wear whatever they want to wear. But I still don't think you just check out. And, you know, if your child's doing something that you don't agree with, I don't care if they're 35. Maybe you still say something, because not only are they your children, but they're, you know, your fellow believers. So you say, you know, that thing you're doing doesn't look very good. Not only does it look good, it isn't good, and you shouldn't do it. Now, you know, there is some truth into it. My wife and I, we bat this one around. You know, when your son is 18 or 19 or your daughter's 18 or 19, they can get married, they could join the military, and they go to college, and they do you know, they'll see the movies they want to see and do the things they want to do. And I think we do them a disservice if we make them report into their mom and dad and have to ask all the questions, because there are going to be times when we're not going to be around to ask those questions. Is it okay if I go see? You know, I want to make that transition so my child will think, hey, before I go see this movie, I should check and plugged in online. Boy, it doesn't give it a very good review rating. It says it's pretty kind of pretty crummy. I shouldn't be seeing this. And if they do see it, you know, I guess my controlling them not to see it doesn't change anything. I can't keep them from seeing all the crummy things that I'd like them to see. And they are going to make some choices and even some bad choices that I wouldn't like. But I still have to trust that all that training that I've done up until that point, whatever point that is not for vain. I have to believe that the verse that says, you know, if you train them up in the way that they go, when they're old, they're not going to depart from it. I have to trust that, even though God may have to teach them some other lessons. He will have to teach them some other lessons. Just think about yourself for just a few minutes. How many times did you fail and do things, you know, that taught you so much? How many times, I mean, you've all seen things that you wish you hadn't, but maybe it caused you from getting seriously burned because you got a little bit of pain. So, you know, I don't know what the age is, but I know parents shouldn't check out. I know there are times, you know, and that from as they get older, you're always releasing them. You're always letting go. You're letting them make choices that sometimes that maybe have little implications if they choose the wrong one. And later on, you have to let them make some choices that have big implications. Otherwise, they get to a point where, you know, they just don't want to listen to us anymore, and we don't have any influence in their life anymore. But do not believe that for one second, Dad, that I'm saying that we should let our kids do whatever they want when they're 18. People will use that against us. I mean, even if I have this argument with my wife sometimes, she'll say, oh, so you're just saying our kids can do whatever they want to do? And I'm like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when they get to a certain age, and I don't know what the age is, after we've trained them and we've taught them, we're going to have to give them some freedom. Freedom to make failures. Freedom to sin, even. But we never check out. We're always there. We're always guiding. We're always correcting when correction needs to take place. And we're always loving, no matter what. Here's another one that was kind of related. It says, my daughter wants to be in a relationship. She's only 16. What do you think I should do? That's a great question. You know, that's a hard one, too, because I have a 16-year-old daughter, and if she wanted to be in a relationship, I would probably freak out. And I don't know what I would do, but I know this, that, you know, we're all in relationships. There are different kinds of relationships. And even Facebook, I think, when they say that, it used to be boyfriend, girlfriend, and that kind of stuff. Facebook, when you have a special someone, it'll say in a relationship. And my son, his Facebook, my oldest son, who's 20, his Facebook account says in a relationship. You know, and when I read that, it's just when I first read that, it was like, oh, you know, I didn't like it. But, you know, that's really a pretty good descriptive word. Again, the Bible doesn't say, you know, when you're a certain age, that's when it's okay to be in a relationship. It doesn't say, you know, you have to be 18 or you have to whatever. In fact, we've probably put an undue pressure on a lot of our kids because in the old days, you know, it was when you were 16. You got married when you were 16, maybe even younger. And now, you know, everybody around them, and it is kind of, it's different. Like, we homeschool our kids. And so our kids are maybe not around that youth culture as much, where everybody's dating each other, you know, and they're in third grade and they're wanting to be boyfriend and girlfriend. But when you're in a public school or in a school setting, or you're in a setting where there are a lot of kids together, you know, all their friends are dating, all their friends are maybe not dating, but they're all having boyfriend, girlfriend, and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, it becomes really frustrating when we try to put the brakes on something that maybe they're feeling. And I, you know, I don't think we do have to freak out all the time. Sometimes when they think they've got a special friend, that special friend doesn't mean a whole bunch. You know, we freak out and think, oh, they're going to, you know, do terrible things together, or they think they're going to get married. That's not even what they think. I can remember when I was in sixth grade and some girl came up to me and said, hey, so-and-so wants to go with you. I didn't even know what go with meant. I had to go ask my mom. You know, I don't even know if they say go with. You know, and I had a girlfriend, I think, when I was in seventh grade, and it was nothing. You know, so I'm still, I wouldn't say that, you know, I'd let all my 7-year-old or my seventh grader have a boyfriend or girlfriend. I would still say, even at 16, I would pay very close attention, especially to daughters and to sons. I would make sure that they talk with us, that we would keep talking, that we would share. You know, honey, I don't think you're old enough yet to be in this serious relationship with someone. You know, if you want to hang, maybe our families could hang around together, or we could do something. We could invite them over, you know, and we could see. But I would want to, my thing, I would want to keep it going very slowly. Because the thing about a relationship is, and you all know this, that it always progresses, unless it breaks up and breaks your heart, which that happens too. But, you know, as things progress, you don't want to get into a point where you have nowhere else to progress and you're 17. You know, the only way else you can progress is by being intimate or getting married, and your parents are probably not going to let you get married. So, hey, you'll just do that and sneak. So I would be very careful of that. And I would, from a very young age, which we have done with our kids, you know, that we kind of set the rules of what we believed, what we thought, you know, that mom and dad, we would, you know, we'd be somehow involved in this. And, you know, we just kind of, you know, maybe if they were little, we'd say, oh, you can't do that till you're older. I just wouldn't want to be swept up in the culture, because the culture says there are no rules. In fact, the culture says it doesn't matter if it's a boy or a girl. You could have if you're a boy, you can have a boyfriend. But it's just hard. But I wouldn't want my 16-year-old daughter or son to feel like they've done something bad and that they have to hide it and they can't tell us. You know, my oldest son, he even kind of suggested that, said that we were so anti-relationships. You know, my wife and I would, every time we were watching a video and someone kissed, we would fast forward through it, or don't look, you know, thinking that might, you know, inflame passions they had in their hearts. And really, sometimes what we did is we made it feel more taboo, where they didn't want to talk about it. Hey, I got one more question, and the question is this: my son wants to get a tattoo. What do you think about that? Okay, here's another one of those things. You know, I've thought about that. You know, and I think this is going to be a great demonstration, if anybody gets ever think this, is I'm going to take a balloon, I'm going to blow it up, and I'm going to take a marker and I'm going to draw a flower on it. And then I'm going to say, this is you with your flower tattoo now, with big muscles and all that. And then I'm going to let all the air out of it. And as you see this shrivelly little black thing on here, I'm going to say, this is what it looks like when you're old, you know, and because things change. You know, I was fortunate enough that I didn't grow up in the tattoo craze. Maybe I'd have a tattoo if we did. You know, when I was a kid, nobody had a tattoo unless you were a biker. But everybody has a tattoo now. You know, Christians, doesn't matter. Maybe you have a tattoo as well. You know, there are just a few verses that talk about tattoos, and you can take them to that, and you can beat them over the head and say, ah, this is what the Bible says about tattoos. And, you know, I think that some may be valid. But I wouldn't freak out. I know my mother, she's always threatened, and she said, Todd, if you ever get a tattoo, I'm going to get one in the exact same place. Which I'll tell you, it worked for me. Kept me from ever even thinking about a tattoo. Even now, if I thought about getting a tattoo, I'd be afraid she'd get one as well. But, you know, if your son or daughter, I would tell my kid, you know, no, I don't think you should get a tattoo for these reasons. And you have your reasons, and I'd share those. And I'm like, why do you want to get a tattoo? And you want to be cool? I'm like, here, let me draw a marker on your arm, because things are going to change. In fact, I don't know very many people who have a tattoo, grown-ups, who wish they didn't. You know, maybe if they were in the Navy or whatever. But there are a lot of guys I've talked to. One guy I talked to was covered in tattoos. He was a tattoo artist. And he said, you know, I pray every morning that my tattoos would be gone. And God has yet to answer that. But, you know, so I don't know very many people who regret some of those things they've written on their arms or legs or drawn. I'd share those things. Now, if your son or daughter one day shows up with one, you know what I would do? I wouldn't make a big deal about it. I would accept your child. I would love your child. I would ignore that tattoo or make fun of it. I don't know. I guess you don't have to ignore them. Do not assume just because they have a tattoo that they're bad, because sometimes we talk that way, you know, and they feel that way because we make such a big deal over some of those things, especially when you do something like that you cannot change any longer. And I just want my kids to talk to me. I want my kids to be in a relationship with their dad. And I know that sometimes that relationship is very, very fragile. Well, hey, we're just out of time. I'm out of candy. Next week, we'll be together with Scott again.
I'll be back.
And, you know, we're going to have a year-end in review and kind of like they do in on the, you know, People magazine or whatever they do it in. And we're going to talk about some of those things looking back at the year 2013. And, you know, I'm thankful for the year 2013. I'm looking forward to the year 2014. I hope you're looking forward to it as well. Not because you're going to make all these changes, but because you get an opportunity to be with your children. You know, these holidays, these days and months, they fling around so quickly. We're just going to be out before you know it. And I just want you, I want me to spend our next year more wisely than we spent this year. You know, maybe we'd leave a few days early or more often or take off a few more days. Maybe we'd be a little more extravagant in our spending on our family. Maybe we would watch a few more videos or play a few more games. Pray more faithfully for our kids. I've been struck by that as well, that I haven't done a very good job of praying for my children. I need to change that because they need me to pray for them. Well, hey, we're done. I'm going to let you listen just a little bit more of the Family Man song by Drew Geertz. Dad, have a great day. Have a great weekend, week. And don't forget, you to dad.
And that's our show for this week, folks. Thanks for joining us on the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com, or you can email me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com.
And next week, we'll bring Scott back.
Today are starving for affection. Kids today are looking for direction. Kids today have got a void to fill. And if our dads won't be there, something else will. Like TV, magazine, big screen, music scene, internet, cigarette, alcohol, crystal meth, taking chances under covers with romances from another life of crime.